Okay, so I'm going to jump in, and I know this session was focused on local, but I'm actually going to talk about a study where we looked at both state and local public health officials and legal counsel. So first and foremost, I have no conflicts of interest to disclose. I want to just take the time to acknowledge some of the partners that worked with us on this study. I'm the Associate Director of the Public Health Law Research Center. The funding came from PHLR, but we also work very closely with ASTO and NACHO, thinking through the questions, thinking through how we were going to approach the study design, and then working with them to use some of their data and their membership lists. So we know from the ASTO profile and the NACHO profile, there's two or three questions with regards to looking at use and resources of public health law. Very, very limited. It gives us not even a snapshot of what it looks like. So folks have been talking for many years about this idea of getting to a better understanding of what resources we have, the way public health officials and legal counsel collaborate, what that looks like, and hopefully next steps will be what are the outcomes in instances where you have good collaboration. What we were looking at here was just to be able to document what does the relationship look like, what are barriers and facilitators to that relationship, and then also looking at instances where there's been a collaboration and there's been a use of law to promote population health at both individual and institutional levels. So in terms of our design, as I said, this is a mixed method study. The first component of the study was an online survey. We had 15 questions that went out to all 50 state health officials and all 50 state legal counsel for the health departments, and then a sample of local health departments, which I'll talk about in just a moment. Within the survey, we asked them about individual and organizational characteristics, instances of public health law collaboration, their perceptions of barriers, and that's really important here. We didn't go through to document, is this an actual barrier? My opinion is on some level, perception is reality, and so we were asking them what is their perception of barriers, as well as facilitators, asking their individual assessment of the use of law in public health, and then asking an assessment of the relationship with either whatever their counterpart is, either the legal counsel or the health official. How do they feel that they're interacting? And then phase two, you know, getting the online data or getting the survey data is really just scratching the surface. We then did semi-structured interviews with a sample of state folks and all of the local health departments in our study to get a much richer picture of what this all looks like. So in terms of our design, so as I said, we surveyed all 50 states. Within each state, we asked the state public health official and their associated legal counsel. We use the membership list from ASTO to contact the public health officials, and we use the network's list of public health law, public health lawyers to contact those folks. We then use a stratified random sample to figure out who we were going to contact for local health departments. Just there are so many local health departments, there was no way that given limited time and budget we could contact everyone. It might be something we do in the future. But what we were looking at was governance and population. We were interested in trying to get a good sampling. So you can see here we were sampling for local health departments in the largest city in the SMSA. Metropolitan Statistical Area, local health departments in rural areas, and then in frontier areas. We wanted to be able to look at a wide swath in terms of the population served and resources available to the local health departments. Again, within each local health department, two surveys went out, one to the health officer and one to the local legal counsel. So I'm going to run through the state survey data, then the local survey data, and then I'll talk combined about what we saw in terms of the interviews. Within the state health departments, in general, at the state level, we got better response rates. It was follow-up. We did not have to do as much follow-up, and in part, resources, time, et cetera, was contributing to that. You can see the rates for the health officials and the legal counsel. In addition, we had 35 pairs where we had 35 instances or 35 states where we had the health official and the legal counsel, so we had what we considered a complete set. We went into this study with this notion that we called it the dyad study, that there was health official and legal counsel, and that's who worked together, that they were very much a pair. And what we found over the course of the study was that's not the case. There is a legal counsel, somebody who is committed to working with the health department, but that attorney is typically working with a wide range of individuals within the health department. So it's not a one-to-one relationship, it's more of a one-to-many relationship. But you can see also here we broke out in terms of governance. in this presentation, because of the time, I'm not going to go through the breakdown by governance, but this is something that we have in the paper that's that'll be submitted shortly. So in terms of background, most respondents had been in their position for many years, 5-plus years. Most state health officials and state legal counsel had been working in the field for more than 14 years. So these were not newbies that we were talking to. We had some concerns when we started the study because there was so much turnover in terms of the state health officers with the elections, but the majority of folks had been working in the field for an extended period of time, even if they had only been in their particular position for 1 or 2 years. And then, as expected, there were a wide range of degrees in terms of background and education for the state health officials. And for the most part, the legal counsel, clearly they all had JDs. There was only one instance where there was one attorney who also had an MBA. In terms of their experience in education, it was very clear, even at the state level, that most folks that we talked to did not have much background in terms of public health or law, the reverse of if they were legal counsel, not much in terms of public health, and vice versa. Any education, formal education, and I use that term loosely, really came from on-the-job trainings. A conference like this where they attended a session, that's what they considered training. Most of these groupings had been working with the same person for about 1 to 4 years, but again, as I said, it wasn't necessarily that one-to-one relationship, but they had an ongoing relationship with someone in the health department. And also very important, we found that most legal counsel are not physically located in either the same suite or even the same building as their state health officials. So in terms of collaboration, sometimes it's difficult if you have to go to another building across town as opposed to just popping next door to speak to someone. Here's the breakdown in terms of the services that are provided. This was interesting, again, the ASTO data collects some of this information. And then based on consultation with our advisory committee, some former health officers and some public health attorneys, we added in some additional categories of services that were provided. And you can see there are some gaps. What you see bolded here are instances where there was really a difference in terms of the perception of the services that were provided. So you can see in terms of interpreting public health legal authority, the state health official felt that their legal counsel was only providing that service about 57% of the time, whereas the state the public health attorney felt they were doing it about 3/4 of the time. On the reverse, drafting new laws or revising existing public health laws, the public health official felt that their counsel was helping them more often than what the counselor felt that he or she was helping them with. And then contracts was the other one. All the other ones, it was within a margin of error that we were seeing the differences, so not big, big differences in the other categories. Again, at the state level, looking at the barriers to collaboration, the two biggest things which I heard in several interviews was if only money grew on trees. So financial resources were definitely an issue. Health officials said it would be great if there could be more attorneys who were dedicated specifically to working with public health folks. And then lack of time to train staff in legal concepts. So even if there was a basic foundational level of understanding of public health law among the public health staff, a lot of the time the attorney would be working with someone in a leadership position, but a lot of times it's frontline staff that's dealing with whatever the issue is. So that was one of the big issues. You can see here at the state level there was no concern in terms of institutional collaboration, you know, a culture of collaboration, no conflicts between offices. There wasn't a problem in terms of accessing legal counsel, time to get a response, et cetera. Take a look at these real quick, because what you will see at the local level is a very, very different story, as you can imagine. So now we'll talk a little bit about the local level. The local response was lower, and let me just say something. While we had a list of public health lawyers from the network at the state level, no such list exists at the local level. So the way that we were able to contact local counsel was we would send out the survey to the local health official, provided to us through NACHO, and then at the end of the survey we would ask, could you please provide contact information for your local legal counsel? There were many instances where the local health official said, we don't have local counsel, we use state counsel. So that's one reason that number 22 is a lot lower. Some instances where they said, we share, and it would be somebody over in this other place, so they didn't list. And then within that 22, that did include private counsel. So part of the reason that our number was only 12 out of 22 was none of the attorneys who were private counsel responded to the survey. not surprising because if somebody's not paying you to complete it. So that's why we saw that these numbers were lower. We also had a number of health officials who said, I'd love to help you out. I'd love to complete it. It's in my pile if I get to it. So that's why we saw that the local numbers were lower. And again, you can see here what the breakdown was in terms of governance, centralized structures, decentralized, and then shared and mixed states. So similar to the state, we saw that most of these folks were not new. As folks said, I've been around the block a time or two. They had been working in the field, again, for over 14 years. And again, we see the same distribution of the different formal training that individuals had. There were a few local health officers who did have formal public, formal legal training. I think there were two of them that had JDs. Background and training, again, same thing. They did not have a lot of training. They said anything that they did receive was from job-related seminars, but at a much lower level than the state. The state folks said that they had greater access to going to conferences, going to special trainings, time for doing webinars. That was not the case at the local level, but the few instances where individuals did say they had training, it was from a job-related issue. Most had been working in their position for at least a year. less than 30% had been working together for over 10 years, but I can tell you those were the interviews that were really the most interesting because they could talk about a whole history of evolution in terms of their collaboration. And again, very rarely did we see that the health official and the legal counsel were situated in the same physical space. The differences we saw in terms of the services provided at the local level, you see a lot more differences here in terms of what the local health official believes is being provided and what the legal counsel believes is being provided. Particularly big differences around interpreting legal authority. And I think, you know, this, I was really happy to follow Elizabeth. The whole notion of legal authority, do you have it, yes or no, is one thing, but the way you interpret it and can you be creative and when it comes to a public health issue, are you very strict in terms of your interpretation? Are you a little bit more fluid in terms of the way you think of what your powers are? And that was something that'll come up in the qualitative data as well. Looking at MOUs, enforcing public health laws, what we heard a lot was from the local legal counsel that it was not their job to develop laws. It was their job to help interpret and to enforce, but not to do the policymaking side of things. So some differences here from the state to local level. As you can see, draft new laws or revise existing public health laws, what you saw there is both sides were similar in terms of their understanding and interpretation, but the numbers were low. So both sides felt they were not going to their attorney to help develop new laws or revise existing laws. It was more in instances where there was some form of conflict. The assessment of collaboration, we asked them to assess the opposite party that they're working with in terms of things like, do you agree on priorities for working on behalf of the health department? So do you have a common understanding of the mission of the health department? There was a lot of agreement there. They certainly felt like they trusted each other. They felt like they there weren't different ideas regarding how to be moving forward, what they should be doing. That was very similar. They did have different perspectives on how to work together, how to use law to look at public health problems. There was a difference in terms of being innovative and creative in using public health law as opposed to bring me an issue, bring me a problem, and I'll help you resolve this issue. And there were different levels, different response in terms of their confidence in using law to resolve an issue that came up. And there was disagreement in terms of how effective they were in solving problems. Now, we didn't get into a lot of depth about looking at effectiveness or looking at outcomes. This is really just a first foray into understanding this. We hope to get into more of that moving forward. But it is interesting that there were differences in terms of the legal counsel felt that they were effective. The public health officials said that they didn't feel as confident. As I said before, looking at the state slide, you can see at the local level, there are more perceived barriers, more issues. Certainly lack of financial resources, institutional cultures to collaborate. Again, part of it is at the local level, some folks who had private attorneys said there's no culture to collaborate. As soon as I call that my attorney, the clock starts. And so I'm not going to be innovative or creative working with that person because I can't afford it. It's not in my budget. Accessibility of legal counsel, again, that being a financial issue. and legal counsel knowledge of public health. So there was definitely a sense that when I bring an issue to my attorney, he or she may not be familiar with that public health issue. What are the ramifications of different approaches? What are some of the factors that are driving this behavior, this disease, et cetera? They didn't feel that there were conflicts between the offices to collaborate. So while there wasn't an institutional culture to promote collaboration, when they were working together, they didn't feel that there was conflict or difficulties. They didn't have a problem with being able to use the law. It was definitely a more conservative approach that there's a problem, we look at the law, we interpret it, and here's what it is. And interestingly, it was not an issue. All of the legal counsel felt that they were impressed with the level of legal knowledge of the local health officials, that they had a good, solid understanding that in having conversations, they were on the same page. So I'll talk a little bit about some of the key themes and opportunities moving forward. This is just a quick slide to give you a sense of they're addressing a wide range of topics. everything all over the place. So in terms of what I had said to you about legal counsel having an understanding of public health topics, there's a lot that they're trying to cover. It's hard to know everything. Even health officials said it's a lot of information to know at the tip of your fingertips. I just pulled out some of the quotes in terms of what I thought were real seminal issues that came out of the interviews. So the perceptions of the law, and what you'll see here is the blue is someone from legal counsel, from the legal side perspective, and the green is from the, blue is the health official, green is legal counsel. So you can see in the top slide that there's more of a keep me out of trouble mindset, and this came up quite often, that I turned to my attorney to keep me and my health department out of trouble. Whereas the law folks were saying that I wish I could be more engaged. I wish people came to me more often. I wish I was part of the team as opposed to you coming to me at the last minute when there's a problem and then I have to hurry up and learn and get involved that way. So definitely perceptions of the law and how health departments should be using the law. Proximity and role. So there was this notion that team building is important, and if counsel was part of us, if they were part of the executive team, if they were down the hall from me so that I could walk down and float an idea past them, that would be much better in terms of promoting collaboration. On the other side, legal counsel said, well, we were kind of an afterthought. In terms of engaging us, it was sort of a, oh, yeah, maybe we could have our attorney participate in regular staff meetings or if there was an ongoing issue that there were special meetings going on to engage the attorney as well. Legal knowledge and training. The public health folks said, even though the local folks at the local level, counsel said, we're pretty impressed with the knowledge of law among our local health officials. What we saw consistently across state and local folks was health officials saying, we really don't know the law. We know very little, and what we have picked up has been along the way. We learn as we go. what we heard from a lot of legal counsel was, I know there's limited resources, so my health department cannot access me on a regular basis. What I try to do is, instead of giving the fish, I try to teach them how to fish. So trying to do some legal training so that they can triage, know that when there's a significant issue, they need to come to legal counsel, they can use their resources, limited budget at that time, but maybe there's some instances where they can sort of do it themselves, figure out some of the issues on their own. The knowledge of public health, as I said, I showed you that slide, there's a wide range of topics. What we heard from a lot of the attorneys was that there's this sort of fly-by-the-seat-of-your-pants approach. An issue comes up, I start searching, I start researching, I start trying to figure this out, I look at what are the legal issues, and I'm trying to learn the basic public health as well. So that several folks said, I feel like I'm flying by the seat of my pants. There was definitely interest in additional training. Attorney said, I don't have the time or money to be going out to get my MPH, but having a certificate program, having some basic training, or even having an online library of training, if you will, so that when an issue comes up, I have a ready-to-go resource that I could go to and learn more about this particular topic would be helpful. And the public health folks said it would be good if there was they were working with attorneys who had a working knowledge of public health. So some of the overarching opportunities, it would be good, and I think folks are open to thinking more creatively and innovatively about how to use law proactively to advance population health. As I said, the folks who said this sort of keep me out of trouble, quite often they also said, I wish it was different. This is the way it is, but I wish it was different. I wish we could use more law as a tool as opposed to just a shield. As I said, educational resources and trainings, webinars, online, self-guided. A lot of folks said that they don't necessarily have the time. They always have the best intent to attend a webinar, but when the webinar is at noon and something else comes up, a lot of times the webinar goes by the wayside. So if things were recorded, things were tagged so they could go back and reference specific areas later, that would be great. And then certainly some examples of effective collaborations. We're in the process of writing up all our results to send back to all the states and local folks who participated, and we definitely have a number of examples at the state and local level of they're not quantifiable measurements, but anecdotes and examples of where public health collaboration worked really well. And I think being able to show that and also to talk about sustained collaborations where there's not one public health victory, but where they've worked together over this over the course of time, and it's been a positive experience. And that's it. I made it. I just saw the one-minute mark. So if there's any other questions, as I said, we're in the process of writing this up, but if you're interested in any of the breakdown by governance or by population, I'm happy to share that.